This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's interesting. We had booked an author about a year ago who'd written a book called Cloud Nine, an Airline Safety Manual, and we never had him on the show because we had scheduling problems. We're going to have him back on today, and probably a good time because you've probably heard about the flight from Los Angeles to Chicago, in which a screaming man's charge to the cockpit startled at least a half a dozen American Airlines passengers, who then leapt to their feet and pinned him as he crashed through the door. Apparently, he was a man by the name of Edward A. Coburn of Fresno, California. He was charged with interfering with a flight crew. And the word is that he may have been or may be, mentally disturbed, emotionally disturbed, may have some kind of a malady in that regard. Robert Green is the author of Cloud Nine, an Airline Safety Manual, and joins us on our newsmaker line from San Diego. And Mr. Green, thank you for joining us at this late notice. I know that we had planned on having you on our program last year, but we, as I said, had some scheduling problems.
I do remember getting the phone call that you didn't need me on your show, and it's funny how things stay with you. But I'm very happy to be back on.
That bothered you?
Well, I think it would bother anybody. You were booked on a radio program, and then within 5 minutes, your producer at that time, Mr. Schaffner, had called. And
Mike Schaefer.
Yeah, Mike Schaefer had called and said, "Well, we don't need you. Thanks for nothing," or whatever. And he hung up.
Are you okay? I don't know if you want to get into these questions right now.
No, but I remember when I got blown off your program.
Well, we didn't mean to blow you off, if that's what you're saying. We had a scheduling conflict. I don't want to talk about this right now. If we could move along with our interview.
No, that's fine. It's just it's like I say, it stayed with me.
All right. Mr. Green, your book, Cloud Nine, an Airline Safety Manual, at the time you warned against what you called the possibility of mentally challenged people flailing about. Can you explain that?
Right, Phil. At that time, I felt it was something that we needed to look at, that we had a lot of people flying on airplanes, jet airplanes and what have you, who were what you called, and I forget the term you used.
Mentally challenged,
that were emotionally, you know, pretty messed up, and they're flying up there. Now, what do you do if one of them starts to flail about and goes after a fire extinguisher? Nobody thought about that. We think about terrorists, we think about all kinds of things, but nobody thought about the possibility that a 250-pound, let's say, and a, you know, pretty heavy-set, what do you want to call a retarded guy, starts going for the cockpit door, you may have yourself a problem. Now, I've tussled with these people. I took a baseball away from one about 2 years ago in Piedmont Park, Atlanta. And let me tell you something. They're formidable individuals.
When you say these people, you're talking about mentally retarded or emotionally disturbed?
Disturbed. Disturbed is the word that I'm looking for. They are disturbed.
And this young man on this aircraft going to Chicago allegedly was emotionally disturbed?
That's what I'm hearing. And the passengers of American Airlines Flight 1238 were confronted with a raving, you know, retard or someone who had a mental defect or some kind of a deal like that. I think it is absolutely irresponsible for people to take these individuals on airline flights.
All right, so we're talking about if I have a son or I have a daughter or I have a member of my family.
No, I understand it may be a member of your family, Mr. Hendry, but it's irresponsible.
It would be irresponsible of me to take them on a flight?
Let me ask you, you know who Rosie Grier is, right?
Roosevelt Grier.
Yeah.
The former offensive tackle for the Rams.
Correct. Imagine Rosie Grier with the smarts of a two-week-old child. It's not so pretty anymore, is it? And that's what we're dealing with. Rosie Grier with the brains of a three-year-old. Now you're talking about somebody that can do some serious damage, and that's why we proposed in our book, and we have proposed to the FAA, what we call the leash. And this is something that can be installed in aircraft. It can be something that can be carried by the parents or the, I don't know, the keepers, or not the keeper, but I mean...
Well, family member, I think, is a good word.
The family member. That was what I was going for. The family member of these people can carry the leash.
Now, the leash you describe in your book, do you sell this online?
www.bobgreen.info, I-N-F-O. Let me repeat that, www.bobgreen.info. You can purchase Cloud 9, an airline safety manual, in which 2 years ago we warned of the possibility of someone the size of Roosevelt Greer with the brains of a cat getting smart on an aircraft.
I need to ask you, you're not saying that someone who is mentally challenged or someone who is emotionally challenged is getting smart on purpose?
No, I'm not, but they think they're having fun. They're running up and down the aisle, they're crashing into the cockpit door, then they're running back down the aisle and crashing into the lavatory door. They think it's fun. They think it's a WWF bouncing off the ropes, when in point of fact, they're endangering the airline. So the leash is something you can attach to these people.
All right, now this is something that their parents can hook onto them so that they can't get too far.
If this young man on the American Airlines flight had a leash on, we wouldn't be talking.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene, who I guess I had booked last year, and we're sorry we had to cancel that. He's written a book called Cloud 9, an Airline Safety Manual, in which he says that going on an airline with a emotionally disturbed or emotionally challenged individual without them wearing some kind of a leash is irresponsible. This leash, you said it's designed after what?
The leash you'd use on a pet.
So it goes around the neck?
Goes right around the throat of the young person who's, mental. And then you hold it, or it can be attached to the airline seat. And they can't get any further than 3 or 4 feet. You can rein it in. You can loosen it out. It is on an elastic-type band. So it's very effective. Now, if this kid had been on a leash, he never would have gone up there and gotten into the cockpit. But no. Nobody wanted to interview me 2 years ago. And
if we can get past that, okay?
No, but I understand that you didn't want to interview me.
Yeah, if we could get past that and just keep on talking about the leash. Now, you mentioned you've, quote, tangled with a couple of them in a park. You took one of their baseballs.
That's right. Piedmont Park, Atlanta. I took a baseball away from one of them. And they're tough.
All right, Robert Greene with us. Put your emotionally disturbed child on a leash. That way they can't get into the cockpit of a airliner. 1-800-449-8686. Jack, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand the stereotyping that we're doing here.
I don't either, and I think that...
What stereotyping am I doing?
You're stereotyping that all mentally challenged, either children or adults, cannot fly on an airplane without a leash.
Well, do you want to take that chance?
I have a 12-year-old autistic son, as a matter of fact.
All right, and can you be sure that the day doesn't arrive when he decides to take an airliner out?
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
How do you know he wouldn't?
That's just it. Why not put him on a leash? That way both of us are
because,
right.
Because he's 12 years old and he doesn't lash out like that. You're saying that,
well, okay,
that every mentally... No, hold on, let me talk. You're saying that every...
He's not the kind
you're
of
saying that
he
every mentally challenged... You're making it seem like every mentally challenged person, whether autism...
Right.
...or whatever...
Autism,
you know,
is
influx
it? Yeah.
...they might have, they're going to charge the cockpit of an aircraft?
I don't know about... What do you call it? Artistic?
Autism.
Autism.
Yes.
Okay. You've never seen one of them charge a cockpit door.
No, an autistic child is generally extremely passive, aren't they, Jack? I mean, I don't know.
Extremely. Very
all
passive.
All right, well, then all you got to do is belt that kid in, right?
Yeah, with a seatbelt, not a leash.
What's wrong with a leash? In other words, what I'm saying is the child needs to get up and use the lavatory, correct?
Yes.
Do you want to get up and follow him down there? You could hook the leash onto them. They go
I do
down,
it all the time.
And you're still sitting in your seat holding onto the leash.
I do it all the time with autism. Sometimes they have muscle spasms in their legs and might fall down.
All right,
I follow my son everywhere he goes.
I'll tell you something.
I don't put a leash on him.
Well, Jack, I will tell you, today we say it's safe. Tomorrow, if an autistic kid takes an airliner out of the sky with 300 people on board, then what do you and I say?
Well, an autistic kid is not going to wrestle the controls.
Let me ask you this. What happens if that same kid is in a shopping mall? Are you telling me that he's endangering the lives of all the shoppers and must be put on a leash in public in general?
An airliner is in... Well, he's not going to crash the shopping mall. An airliner can be... You can't fly a shopping mall into a building.
Okay, what about a special school bus that he takes to school? The same kind of thing. You can drive this bus into a building,
exactly right.
Can't you?
Now, there you got a problem. there you have a problem.
Oh,
no,
come
I don't
on.
Have
there's
a problem. Got... Never in history have you had a problem.
No,
with
you're telling me if an autistic kid doesn't try to wrestle the wheel away from a bus driver.
No, there's no kid in history. Bus drivers have driven children who are mentally challenged or emotionally disturbed or what have you for years, and I've never heard of one of them wrestling the wheel away from the driver.
You ever heard
no,
of
I mean, and what research background do you have on even all of the mental problems that kids and adults have to base this stereotypical opinion of yours?
I mentioned that I had wrestled a baseball away from one in Piedmont Park, Atlanta.
But you say one. One what?
He was a big retarded guy.
Retarded and with...
But you didn't say you you didn't say you wrestled a baseball away from him. You said that you took the baseball and then he ran after you.
Right.
Well, knowing your guest, Bill, and I'm sorry, but he probably wrestled from a kid away in a wheelchair.
Well, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but...
Well, I think what it means is that there is a misunderstanding here of an autistic kid wrestling the airline controls away from a pilot with 300 people on board. Mr. Robert Green is on the line with us. You heard about the emotionally disturbed young man who charged the cockpit of an American Airlines jet yesterday. Mr. Green's book, Cloud 9, An Airline Safety Manual, proposes that emotionally disturbed, mentally retarded kids be put on a leash that is built into the seat of an airliner for safety so that they don't charge the cockpit door, etc., etc., etc. I've tangled with a couple of them in a park. I took one of their baseballs, quote-unquote, on the dust jacket to this book is his experience with the mentally challenged. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Having a lot of fun.
You're having a lot of fun, so you wrestled, you took a baseball away from a mentally challenged kid?
He wasn't a kid, he was about 21. But I saw him, he was running around like in that guy in Something About Mary.
I know what you're talking about.
So I took the baseball and I ran, and we wrestled for a while, and this guy was strong.
And you're basing your knowledge on the mentally challenged on the time you wrestled a baseball away from a guy that was mentally challenged in Piedmont Park, Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Mr. Henry, I don't have anything against the mental people. I'm saying you don't want one of them at the control. What, do you want one of them flying your plane? Is that it?
No, I don't want one of them flying my plane.
But I don't understand the pushback I'm getting. You want one of these guys in the cockpit landing your plane, be my guest. I think I'll have another drink in the bar, wait for the next flight, if you don't mind.
I don't want one flying the plane. They're not qualified. What I'm talking about, though, is the idea that you need to put a leash on them and proposing all these other rather draconian measures. Lisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Mr.
I don't see anything draconian about just putting a leash on a guy that could go
Hello?
Crashing through the cockpit door. And the next thing you know, everybody is toast.
Hello?
Go ahead, ma'am.
I had to call in. I cannot even believe this topic is a real topic and that this man is for real.
Wait a second. Didn't some guy who was nuts try to take over a plane yesterday?
You know what? I'm sorry, but I think you are nuts and your brain is the size of a cat. I cannot believe that based on one incident, you're prepared to put all mentally challenged people on leashes. And you know,
so in other words, they get to go into the cockpit and take over the flight.
You know,
nobody says they get to take over the flight.
This whole argument is just insane. You just said that you would rather go sit at the bar and have a drink before
rather than
the plane.
Rather than have a card fly the plane, you bet.
Let me say something. There have been more flights that I have been on with drunk people that should be on leashes, not mentally challenged people. I have worked with mentally challenged people.
Mm.
Hello?
Excuse me, what are you doing?
I'm awfully sorry.
What was that?
Are you using the bathroom, sir?
I am very sorry, but it
okay,
was...
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to sign off. No, ma'am, I'm sorry.
It was something I had to do, and I'm very sorry.
Okay, well, I'm not even going to talk to you. Wait a second.
You said certain things about me, which I think I have a right to defend.
Okay, Mr. Henry, I'm just going to say this.
Lisa, you feel like autistic people...
to talk radio.
You know,
and
Look at
she's insulting you.
Would you shut up for a minute?
No, I'm not actually. I think you know you have some good topics on
your
show.
Hold on for a minute.
But I can understand why you didn't let this man on your show in the first place. He is a joke, a disgrace.
So in other words, the pet carrier thing.
The pet carrier thing. You want to put the emotionally challenged and mentally retarded kids into pet carriers?
You don't even know the correct terms.
For
mentally challenged people. You're calling them retards. You're saying that the size brain's the size of a cat. That is so...
No. What I'm trying to say is that if a guy the size of...
Yeah, Rosie Greer with the mind of a two-week-old baby took over your plane.
I guess this lady feels totally secure.
You know what? Actually, you know what? I do. I have worked with autistic children, mentally ill children, retarded children. For the Association for the Retarded Citizens, I have worked with autistic kids the size of, almost the size of Rosie Greer, and I'm 5'3". And I have not had any trouble.
Ma'am, look it. I've been in the airline industry now for some 15 years.
Doing what?
Safety consultation, safety check. You got a drool monkey, take it over.
Oh, boy.
Okay, all right.
A drool monkey.
That's it.
I am very sorry. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
I apologize. Can I please make my point to the lady? Hello?
She hung up on you, man.
All right, I blew it.
Yeah, you blew it.
I'm very sorry.
It started out with you going to the bathroom, and then you moved to drool monkey. You don't care about mentally retarded children. You don't care about emotionally handicapped people.
You don't even know the word.
I'm not the expert here. You are. And to say that... So what do you think of that guy yesterday? That poor kid on that plane that everybody was jumping all over?
Oh, the poor kid all of a sudden. Is that what he is to you? The poor kid...
The kid had emotional problems. Yeah, he's the poor kid.
That kid could have flown that thing right into a silo or worse. And to you, he's a poor kid.
Look, nothing happened. Everything was cool.
Yeah, they had to jump all over the guy. I'm saying if they had the leash, which is being sold right now on bobgreen.info, geez, Phil, who signs your paychecks? Osama bin Laden? And it's...
How dare you?
Well, I mean...
How dare you say that?
Well, you're the guy that's coming out here and saying that drool monkey yesterday was some poor kid. I'm saying...
I don't know where to begin with you. Who signs my paychecks? Osama bin Laden? And then to call the kid a drool monkey.
I'm trying to save somebody from suddenly becoming part of someone's field of rice or wheat or corn. You're not in a plane anymore. You're part of a field. Yeah, didn't think of that, did you? I hear you're kind of tongue-tied now, aren't you?
I'm stunned.
Uh-huh.
Here is Julia.
Fertilizer.
Yeah. Julia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. I wanted to make a comment to this man. First of all, you wrestled a ball from a child, and now you're all of a sudden saying that you're a great man and you're making the security.
No, it wasn't a child. It was about a 22-year-old man.
You can put a leash on a child and feed him like a dog.
No, it wasn't a child. It was a 22-year-old man.
I'm not done.
I didn't wrestle the ball from a child.
I'm not done.
You got the information wrong. It wasn't a child. It was a 22-year-old tard.
Excuse me, sir.
A 22-year-old tard.
Well, she said it was a kid.
I worked with autistic children for years, and they were the most emotionally stable. They were wonderful kids.
Did they get any better?
They are sweeter than the majority of Americans today.
Did they get
non-prejudiced.
Did they get better?
But you know what?
No, they didn't get better. You didn't help them get better.
What do you mean she didn't help them get
better? What does that have to do with anything?
You said you worked with them for years and they never got any smarter.
No, I did not say that. You didn't listen to me because your ears are closed.
You're so narrow-minded.
Well, you worked with them for years.
I worked with them, and they are the most wonderful children in the world.
Until they try to take over your airplane.
No, see, sir, I think he got frightened. I think somebody scared him.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was his only way to protect himself.
Yes.
Because they are incapable of protecting himself against people like you.
Get a load of the two of you.
Put a leash on them like a dog.
Mother Cabrini, the both of you.
We're having a little compassion going on here, okay?
Yes.
And you wouldn't let me on your show last year. That pissed me off.
What if that was your child?
Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Mr. Hendry, yesterday we almost used two fully loaded F-16 fighter jets to shoot one retard out of the sky.
I think that is so wrong of you to say.
Wrong? Wrong as if he'd have taken it into the Sears Tower. And it,
get out of here! Two fully loaded F-16s. Well, the guy's got a point. We did have two fully loaded F-16s ready to take that plane out of the sky. And why? Why was that? Because there was a kid with some kind of emotional disturbance, someone who was really frightened. And as I understand it, he didn't want to fly the thing into the Sears Tower. He was afraid that it was going to be flown into the Sears Tower. Am I right about that? Now, with all due respect to the passengers on board that plane, I felt so sorry for that kid. Here's a guy who's got some kind of a mental problem. His old man passed a note to the flight attendant saying as such. Oh, and by the way, he's got red hair, he's white, and he's from Fresno. How about them apples? Wasn't no Arab. And he was yelling, save the tower. Is that what he was yelling, Chris? He was yelling, save the tower. And I'm listening to these guys, and I'm looking at CNN this morning, and I'm watching, by the way, and I don't want to hit this too hard, I want to be as kind as I possibly can, but how is it that Paula Zahn keeps getting hired? Anyway, I'm watching CNN this morning, and and she's there, and she's got these guys that were in the plane. They were in the American Airlines jet, and they're talking about, man, like you might as, these cats were they were the charge of the light brigade. You would have thought these guys were storming the hills at Iwo Jima and putting the flag up. I'll tell you what, we had to rock and roll, man, and we were ready when it's going down. And you're beating up on some kid who's like a mental midget. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Now, I understand that he was out of control. He was on his way into the cockpit. Do we have clear information on that, by the way? Was he in the cockpit? Was he trying to get the... Because as of today, the FBI still says there's no anthrax terrorism link. And I've been hearing nothing about that for 24 hours. So can we get a little straight information around here from somebody somewhere? Because I ain't getting it from Fox. I'm not getting it from CNN. I can't even get it from... My wife is even kidding me about some of this stuff now. Huh? By the way, my wife... I want all you guys to know this because this is very important. My wife was going through big jars that she has for, like, flour and sugar, and she opened up the jar where the flour was, and she found in there a dead scorpion. Now, as far as we know, there is no link to terrorism. We just want you to know that Osama bin Laden didn't stick that scorpion in the big flour jar there in the pantry of my house. What's that, Mike? You went to the dentist today. They found two cavities, but there is no link as of yet to the Al-Qaeda network. All right, thanks a lot for that. So where do we get the straight information? Who knows? Who cares? When? How? We don't know. Anyway, the kid is screaming and yelling. He's emotionally disturbed. It was a very, in my opinion, it was sad. Sad. Now, what was his father doing? I got no clue on that. You want to know why? Because I can't get any straight information on that either. But apparently the father passed a note saying, my boy is mentally, he's nuts, he's liable to grab a knife. I don't know what he said. And the kid went ape. And a bunch of guys, so anyway, then they put him on CNN this morning, and there's Paula Zahn with, boy, how was it? And these cats are talking like they just got done, saving the Statue of Liberty. Like there was some big rock and roll. These guys on Flight 93... There's a whole lot of wannabes that are sort of sprouting up all over the country. They almost like they wish they'd been on that plane. So they, too, could show just how badass they were. And what happened on this American Airlines flight, this scared kid is running around, tries to get into the cockpit, is screaming, save the tower. And four guys, and I saw them on TV, they all looked like they weighed about 800 pounds apiece, pounced on him. Look at all these people in. Where the hell is this now? Is this in Indonesia? You notice how there's only maybe about 200 of them, but they play it up on TV like the Indonesian riots and the Pakistani riots. There's about 200 of these guys. Now what are they showing? In any event, I'm looking up at the news. I'm seeing like, can we protect our water? Have we got anthrax? Are we ever going to deliver the news in a straight, unbiased fashion? No! As of today, the FBI has said absolutely no link whatsoever. So far, they can't prove any link between the anthrax and terrorism. But do you think that keeps people from reporting that that's exactly what it is? No. Last night, Bill O'Reilly, one of the more unusual occurrences on broadcast. I still don't get how that guy has a job. Him, Polizon, there's a few of them, myself included. I'm very thankful that I got a gig, but those two guys. And last night, he started his news by saying, terrorism. The anthrax deal and terrorism. But I cannot believe, and I've lived almost 50 years, and I have never seen a non-story blown into such enormous, misshapen proportion like this American Airlines kid running around crazy, and everybody's wrestling him to the grounds, and they scrambled a couple of F-16 fighter jets for some guy that ain't got all of his marbles. And they jumped on the guy, and they interviewed these cats ad nauseum, and every talk show, I don't know where you guys live, but every freaking talk show in L.A. today is dealing with this poor retard on that airplane. Everybody's talking about, does this make you feel less safe to fly? What are you talking about, does it make me feel less safe to fly? You could have given that kid a couple of scotches and sodas and, you know, put him to sleep. I say serve more booze on the planes. Because everybody is on pins and needles waiting for the next shoe to drop. They can't wait for the next terrorist attack. It will validate their paranoia. It will validate the acid, excess acid in their stomach. It will validate the fear and the angst and all of the chit-chat and conversation they have with their friends late at night over coffee. There's got to be another terrorist attack. It's only a matter of minutes. It's only a matter of seconds. Hey, look at that. See that flight in Chicago and the L.A. and the guy and the thing? And he's a redhead. And you mean he's not Muslim? No. He ain't even got a tan. He's got red hair. What religion was he? What race was he? I didn't hear anything about the guy's religion or his race. I've been hearing about all these guys being Arab this and Arab that and an Arab guy. And the dude who, you know, this anthrax thing in Florida, did you hear about this? There was an intern who left some goof message, okay, saying, hey, kiss my ass or something like that. I'm only kidding. Well, now they think maybe he had something to do with the anthrax. Well, then turns out today the FBI says, well, no, maybe he didn't. Yesterday he was of Middle Eastern descent, and today, well, we're not sure. Have you ever heard such panic? You guys had better pull it together, cinch it up, or I'm going to have to slap some sense into you. Talking to people running around getting gas masks, and they're getting anthrax virus vaccine, and they're getting, but you know, they're digging a hole in the backyard, and every plane that takes off, every helicopter that takes off, every mouse that farts, it's a Osama bin Laden. By the looks of that guy, he doesn't fart. Chad, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Thanks for putting me on.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to put you on
every day.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Tom Broke.
Tom Broke?
Yeah, Tom Brokaw.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a book, The Greatest Generation.
Read it.
You know, and then he comes out with this comment that he doesn't think he or other reporters should wear a flag on their lapel because it shows solidarity for the administration. Had you heard that comment?
I did not. I heard that there was some Tom Brokaw controversy, but I had not. Now you're telling me that's what it is. He doesn't wear a flag pin.
Right. Yeah. A simple little flag.
Well,
on his lapel.
Let me ask you a question. Why are they wearing flag pins? Why would they wear flag pins? Why would a reporter who is supposed to be reporting the news in as objective a way as possible, why would he wear a flag pin?
You know, Phil, I really think that this tragedy that happened on September 11th, it goes beyond, you know, it transcends a lot of things, including whether it's a right-wing thing or a left-wing thing. I don't think that it affects us as Americans. It also affects us as human beings. I don't think that just because you're a reporter or you're a Democrat or you're liberal or whatever, I think you should be able to show your support for your country. Maybe show your support for those that are experiencing a loss right now. And I was shocked when I heard his comment that.
You got a good point. You know, it is true that these guys are enjoying an amendment. By the way, I heard somebody on TV the other day, or did I already mention this? They said, there's two very important documents, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Did I mention that? Listen, you idiot, the Bill of Rights is in the Constitution. But anyway, the freedom of the press is guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States, and those guys practice in a free press because of that. Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. Maybe Brokaw to get the pull out of his ass a little bit and understand
that
you can still be an objective reporter and show a little love for your country. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Maybe he's having a reaction against Dan Rather showing how human he was on the Letterman show. I mean, Dan Rather showed that he was a human being with a real honest warmth in his heart for his country. And maybe Brokaw's all pissed off about that because he's had a pole wedged ever since he wrote that Greatest Generation thing.
Well, I tell you what, this is at least the second time I can think of where he... Now, I remember his true colors really came through during the Florida recount and recount of the recount of all the ballots.
Yeah.
And he'd made comments back then, and I it just really seems like through various comments that he's made that he's just not going to show his support for this administration or whatever it does.
No, it ain't an administration thing. I think it's he's attempting to be an objective reporter, and I think he's trying to distance himself from cats like Dan Rather, seriously, because Rather was showing that whole humanity thing going on. I think, frankly, I mean, who are these guys kidding anyway? Where do you find an objective journalist anymore? Honestly. Maybe in some newspapers. You don't find it on television. You're putting me on. You call that journalism? These guys are laying out there in as emotional manner as they can to try to grab as many viewers. Like I said, I sat mesmerized this morning looking at Paula Zahn's teeth as she was doing that whole rap session with those brave guys that kicked the crap out of some poor retard on an airplane. Here's Sean on the Phil Hendry Show. Sean?
Yes.
How you doing?
You know, I'm wondering where they're going to finally draw the line about all the security measures they're making. For example, you know the sodas they serve in the soda cans?
Yeah.
You could just put one of those in a sock, and that becomes a deadly weapon. I mean,
I think you've been thinking about this stuff, haven't you, Sean?
No, actually. I'm trying to think of what.
You know what you could do? You shake up that soda, shake up the soda can, and pop it, and you've got yourself a pretty highly charged fizz bomb. I don't know.
No. I'm talking about putting a sealed whole soda can in a sock.
Right.
You know, there's just...
Well, you know what? They weren't going to do anything about that until you brought it up, and now they will. So thanks a lot for that, Sean, for opening your big fat mouth. Hey, when's this stuff going to end? Like, for instance, you could put a soda can in a sock. Well, they didn't think about that until you called my show. Now, next thing I get on a plane, I'm sorry, sir, we can't. Are you wearing socks? Yeah. And you want a Coke? Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Why? Because you may take your sock off and put the can in the thing, and now you can't have it. Ryan, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, good to hear you.
How you doing?
Good, I like your show. I've almost hung up on you listening to that one Bob, whatever his name was earlier, but
that was me doing that was me doing the voice.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. I like how people try to act like they're not surprised. That was me doing the voice of Bob Green.
I thought I had to go either one of two ways, but I just want to call before you get too much further on this pale red haired Arab guys.
Uh huh. Yeah, go ahead. Get to your point, sir.
I've been in the Air Force. I've been over there for the last 10 years, and believe it or not, there are extremely pale red-haired.
Yeah, I know. There's blonde-haired Berbers in Morocco, and yeah, I know.
Yeah, definitely a throwback to the Crusades.
Right. I don't think that anybody who sees a redhead says, "Aha, an Arab."
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. 1-800-449-8686. That cat, when I said that it was me doing the voice of Bob Green, yeah, but anyway, let me get to my comment. I think that just sent him into a... We've missed, Houston. Okay, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, so anyway, today is day two of that day three of that anthrax thing in Florida, and despite the fondest wishes of CNN and Fox, the FBI still can't say it's terrorism, despite the very fondest, deepest, sweetest, late-at-night hugging-a-pillow wishes of Shepard Smith and his good pal there, Bill, whatever his name is. O'Reilly? O'Reilly, it's Bill? Now, the Al-Qaeda has released a statement saying the following. This was Salim Abdul Asshole, and he said, "There are thousands of young people who look forward to death like the Americans look forward to living." He ordered, He ordered all Muslims to join in a jihad or holy war against the United States for its airstrikes in Afghanistan. He said that the Al-Qaeda, he didn't claim that the Al-Qaeda was responsible for the attacks, but he did praise the hijackers for their good deeds. He said, "They have moved the battle into the heart of America. America must know that the battle will not leave its land until America leaves our land, until it stops supporting Israel, until it stops the blockade of Iraq," he said. Now, unlike a lot of people, I like to read between the lines. This is a guy talking, okay, who doesn't have any real idea of what it is he's going to do next. And in point of fact, probably didn't have any real idea of what happened in America on September the 11th. They could have taken responsibility for these acts right after September the 11th, but they haven't done that. In fact, they've been silent. They've been quiet. They haven't said word one until America attacked Afghanistan. Now these guys are opening their mouths. And the only thing that's coming out of their mouths is that one big scary word that nobody knows what it means, jihad or gihai or yahoo or whatever the hell it's called. It's a holy yahoo. You know what that says to me? They don't have any greater plan for retaliation. They have a plan to mess up America in general. But if they had a greater plan for retaliation, they would have executed it by now on some level, and they still haven't done anything. Now the guy is coming out and saying that there will be retaliation. We will retaliate. Well, so do it already. Now, they didn't say anything about that they would retaliate before we attacked. Everybody was saying that there would be strikes after we attacked. There would be a retaliation after the United States attacked Afghanistan. We didn't hear anything from Al-Qaeda. We didn't hear anything from bin Laden. Now we attack, and now this guy's opening his big fat mouth. You want to know why? Because, frankly, this is the only way he can get word to the outside world that we would like a jihad to start. Hello? Because the jihad ain't exactly started yet, has it? Am I talking like a big shot? Am I talking like my big fat mouth is five steps ahead of my brain? Probably. But I think I'm saying some stuff here that bears a little thought. This guy, bin Laden, and maybe one or two others since the attacks on Afghanistan have been extremely vocal. That's because they're extremely pissed. And now they want some payback of their own. They are talking, and they're talking tough, and they're talking emotionally. That means that they want to get something going, because they didn't have any great plan for retaliation. They didn't have any great, well-mapped-out retaliatory strike. Just a general sense that there's some nutcases out there in hotel rooms planning to fly airplanes into whatever it is they can fly an airplane into. Like an empty building. That'd be a good one. With nobody on board except you, Bin. So think about that as we progress through our afternoon and evening together. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Oh, do I want to tell you about our website, and I will next hour. 1-800-449-8686. Some marvelous things happening on the PhilHendryShow.com website. We are going to offer you some tremendous stuff in terms of our streaming audio, in terms of our archives, in terms of our show bits. And it's going to be starting very soon. Stick around. Phil Hendry Show.